the Lord. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Greg, it's good to have you back.
Amen.
I'd say stand up, but you know, the knee, I want to make sure. Run up. Greg, you sure you don't need to preach this morning? No. No. He's saying no. No. Greg and Marie, great people. I tell you, we love them. We were able to visit with them this week, and he's doing well. He's on the mend. Him and his new knee are getting to be friends, so that's good. So he had surgery, what, 2 weeks ago or so? 3 weeks? Okay. So it's on the mend. So also a matter of note, we were able to go visit Miss Gail Smith that is in the nursing home. And when we walked in, you know, that in Gaydon, when you walk in, that's where it's like a lobby, but that's where they eat. That's their eating area, too. So when you walk in, they're all looking at you. Okay. So we get the mask and do whatever, you know, and we walk in, and here she is eating. And she looks at us and just a smile. And she just was like so excited. And, you know, I know she's going through her low times, high times of dementia. But I tell you what, she recognized us. She recognized us. And I said, Lord, we were able to, you know, be with her a little while and pray with her and do, you know, all that stuff. And, but, you know, she's coming along. You know, keep praying for her if you can. If you have her on your heart, please do so. She needs a touch from the Lord. She needs a touch. Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And Clarissa, it was your birthday yesterday. I know we recognized you last week. And the reason is, I know they went to a new restaurant, St. John's, in St. Martinsville, and I heard it was very good. We're going to have to sure try it and see. So, look, everybody's writing down St. John. You see, I need to call them and say, look, you owe me some money. Commercial. Here you go. No, but I heard it was very good. So I hope you had a great birthday yesterday. Amen. Good. Well, trust and obey. We've been talking about trusting and obey. You see, God has to trust us.
Yes.
We have to trust him.
Yes.
And we have to obey when he speaks. Okay? We have to. We are children of the Most High God. And God is expecting his people to trust him no matter what. No matter what's going on in our hearts. No matter what's going on in our lives. That we will trust him. You know, it's easy for the most part, when everything is going well to trust him, huh? It's, you know, it is. Okay, let's face it. It is. It's easy when, you know, everything is paid for, everything is going well, everything's going good, and you just, you know, you get up in the morning, drink your coffee or whatever you do, and go to work and come home, and everything's good with the kids, and everything's just perfect, if you want to say it that way. Well, it's not always like that. But it takes us trusting him when things are bad, too. When we say bad, you know, just it's not going like we would like it to go. When maybe things are not the where they need to be. That we have to trust our God no matter what. We have to no matter what. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Trust and obey in 2023. Come on now. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. No matter what's going on, that we still bow our knee to the throne room of God and say, Lord, you are King. You are Lord. You are Master. And no matter what goes on, that I will trust you no matter what. I often think of the great disciples, the original 12. There is only one that lived his life to the end of old age. All the rest were killed somehow, some way. Some were, most of them were tortured. Some, one for sure we know of, was stripped of his clothes in arena. And they took him and they dipped him in hot, hot oil. This is the 12 original disciples. Death came to him. We know one for sure was hung upside down and crucified. We know one was stripped of his skin, skinned alive. These are the 12 disciples. If you go by what's being preached in churches today around the world, not all, some, they would say that everything has to go well from the time you get saved. You're going to live this great and wonderful life and all these things are going to be good. Okay, we want that. But God will allow us sometimes to go through some difficult times so that we know who He is and we know that we can trust Him. Even John, that lived to be 100 or so years of age, great age. Here, he thought, oh my God, I'm one of the 12, you know, the originals. Old, couldn't see hardly. I mean, just whatever, of old age. They put him on an island called the Island of Patmos. As far as they were thinking, we're going to, this island, there's nobody there, there's nothing there. You're going to die and be destroyed. You see, sometimes even when we put our faith and trust in God, we will go through some difficult times. I would be a false teacher if I told you that everything will go well. I will tell you this, though. You will have a God that will stand with you and will help you. Can you imagine when John is on that island? He didn't know what was going to happen. We know now God gave him the book of Revelation. We know it. Thank God that he was put on that island so that he could get the revelation of the revelation, the book of Revelation. And that we could have it today pinned down by the Spirit of Almighty God. Thank the Lord. Sometimes we don't realize those difficult times we're going through is for us to help somebody else in the meantime, later on. Or to share how faithful God is and what He can do. Amen. The faithfulness of our God. We can trust Him no matter what. I know I've been at times just sit there and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. You can all shake your heads, huh? But we're not alone. And He knows we need Him. Thank God. He knows we need Him to comfort us. He knows we need Him to help us. We know He knows we need for Him to provide for us. My God. That we can sit there and say, Lord, Your will be done. The effectual prayer of a righteous man, that's the third, it's the third part of that scripture, avails much. Yes. We don't realize the power in our prayers. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. And when he says man, that he's meaning mankind, that when we sit down or we go somewhere or we're in our cars or we're in the bathroom or wherever we are working and we start to pray and we're seeking God, the effectual working fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. There's power. Not in us, not in the things we have done, but there's power because we're trusting a God who paid the price. That you can trust Him with your children. You can trust Him with your husband. You can trust Him with your wife. You can trust Him with your church. You can trust Him no matter what. And as you call out to Him, my Lord, it avails much That means there's power, there's authority in that prayer. You're probably thinking, well, Pastor, in my prayer, let me tell you something. Oh, somebody's... Oh. That's okay. It costs you in the end. No. No. It's free. No. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. Because there's power in it. Because you're trusting the God that can make it happen. You're trusting the God that can take that depression away. You're trusting the God that can take and bring healing to a body. You're trusting the God that paid the price for you and I. You're trusting Him no matter what. And I know at times, because I know, God bless you, I know at times I've prayed and said, Lord, are you there? I mean, you kind of, Lord, we're trying. We're doing what we can do, Lord. But Father, are you there? Now, and really that's not good on my part because I should never doubt Him. Now, that doesn't mean we're not human, though. Okay? Because He has done more than enough for us to believe and trust Him. Can you imagine? Let me do this. Jesus on the right hand of the Father in glory. And the Father says, I have a mission for you. You're going to have to go to earth. And Jesus steps down from His Godhead, Godship, to earth. And comes like a baby. Yes. Fooled and outfoxed the enemy. Yes. My God. You see, the wisdom of God, yes, it fools the enemy and it outfoxes him by far. Yes. My God. The enemy, honestly, the enemy probably knows more of the word than we all know, honestly. Because he was with the king. And he knows it. But you know what the problem is? He doesn't believe it. We read it and we believe it. We read it and we believe it. And that gives us power and authority over the enemy. And what he's trying to do in your heart and in your life and in your family. We trust our God. No matter what. We trust Him with all that we have because of who He is. My God. Has God ever failed you? Now, we may have had expectations and we thought, but I can honestly say God has probably never failed never one of us. He will keep His word and He will keep His promise. Trust and obey. Look at this. Proverbs chapter 3. We read it last week, the week before. We need to get it in our spirits, people. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. As I said last week, Proverbs was written by Solomon. Solomon was David's son. Okay. Solomon was writing it to who? His son. And so, but the scripture is pinned down for us, giving his son wisdom in the earth today. One thing we all probably lack it, and it says, if you lack wisdom, ask the Lord in James, and He will give us wisdom. We need wisdom. We need wisdom to live a life pleasing unto God today. We need a wisdom tomorrow when we have to make decisions. We need wisdom when we're on our job saying, Lord, help me with this or that. We need godly wisdom. We need God to intervene in areas that we have surrendered unto him, saying, Lord, you can move if you want to move. You can settle this problem. You can work on this behalf and work things out. But we need a mighty move of the Spirit of God upon each and every one of our lives. Let me tell you, look, we serve a God who is mighty. We serve a God who has given power to the church like no other power on earth has ever been created or will be created. By the Holy Spirit, the power of Almighty God being threshed out and given unto the body of Christ to do the work that he's called us to do. To trust him and obey in him in what he has done for us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. We're looking for direction. Yes. We need direction. Yes. Man's direction will lead you to hell, will lead you to the hell hole of life. Man's direction. I mean, I'm telling you. But I tell you what, we need direction, and we need direction from God, the Holy Ghost. To show us what to do, how to do things, when to do things, where to do things. It says, "Is my people know my voice." Oh my God. You might say, well, I don't know. If you have God, if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, he lives on the inside of you. You know his voice. The enemy has tried to tell the church that we don't know the voice of God. That is false and untrue. We know the voice of God. Let that voice speak and you'll get to know it better and better than ever before. Do you know the voice of your father, earthly father? You know his voice. You know the voice of your mother? You can be at a baseball game, football game, whatever, and 100 mothers are there and one calls out and you know it's you. Because you know the voice of your mother and your father. And if they say your first name and second name, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You know the voice of God. It's keen on the inside of you. Seek him. And you might say, well, Pastor, it's not clear. I understand that. But you call out to him and say, Lord, help me to know your voice. Father, lead me and guide me. Because if we listen to the voice of man, now man, God has given us good godly men and women, but there are some that's not godly. Amen. Some that are goats in sheep's clothing. Yes. Okay? And we got to be careful. Yes. We got to seek the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Trust God and obey him. Trust and obey in the kingdom of God are these two words which work simultaneously together or flow together. Yes, trust, then not obey what it says to do or not do. Obey, then not trust him. See, we can't trust him and then not obey what he says to do. That doesn't make sense. We have to. We cannot trust him and then try to obey him. You have to do both. They're simultaneously. They're together. We trust him as he speaks and we obey him. You might say, well, does God speak? Well, yes, God speaks to his children. And I know the world will tell you that. Well, you're going crazy. Well, I'll go crazy for a while because I tell you, I need a God that will lead me and guide me. Just as you do too. The meaning of trust is assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, and truth of someone or something, one in which confidence is placed. To trust God, we place our confidence in him. Yeah. Oh. So you might say, well, you know, Pastor, I don't know if I trust him, but if you're placing your confidence in him, you're trusting him. Mm-hmm. When you go to God and you say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I place my faith in you, Lord. You're trusting him. It's not hard. I know the church body tries to make things hard, but it's not hard. Simplicity is the key. Simple. It's simple. Simple. Just like when you got saved, how simple that was. You just said, Lord, forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as my God, my Lord, my Savior. From this day forward, I will live for you, Lord God. You are my Savior. You accepted him as Lord. He came and he lives on the inside of you. And you put your confidence in him. You're trusting him. You're trusting him for your family, your children, what they go through in school or what they, you know, whatever happens. And then we have to obey when he speaks or tells us things. Doing, this is what obey means. Doing what God has asked us to do. It implies aligning our will to God's will. Ooh. It is when we completely surrender to his authority. Let me read it again. Obey means doing what God has asked us to do. It implies aligning our will, to God's will. It is when we completely surrender to his authority. See, when we got saved, we completely surrendered to him and said, I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you rose from the grave. And I believe that you're seated at the right hand of the Father. Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me. I thank you that you shed your blood. And now you have cleansed me of all of my sins, Lord. You know, 1 John 1:10 says, if we confess our sins, he's what? Faithful and true to what? Forgive us of our sins. You know how many Christians have a problem with that? Yes, it is. But it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and true to forgive us. Amen. We have to stand with that word, no matter what. You don't have to be tormented tomorrow, today, next week, next year about something that happened last whatever. God forgives. Now, there are maybe some consequences of things, okay? Just like if you go rob a bank or you go rob somebody, you're going to go to jail for the most part. You have to pay the consequences, but God can lighten it somehow. And God can forgive as we go to him. And the Bible does say we have to forgive. See, either we trust his word or we don't. Now, it's not easy. It's not easy. Sometimes it depends on who it comes from and what happened, huh? But on our part, we stand firm with the word and we say, Lord, help me to forgive. And he will help us to do that forgiveness. That doesn't mean you have to be, you know, unless it's your spouse or something, I don't know, you know. But I mean, you know, you don't have to be around them or whatever, but you have to forgive. You have to forgive. And it's not easy. That's why we need God. But it says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. That look, whatever happened yesterday, if you ask forgiveness, God remembers it no more. Zero. Zero. Man remembers, people remember, and all this stuff. But God, he has wiped it out. And it's no more. So if you go to God again for the same thing you asked forgiveness of yesterday or the day before, he doesn't know what you're talking about. And I know that kind of silly, you know. But he does, and he knows what you're talking about. But he doesn't really, because he's saying, you ask for forgiveness of something that I see is not on your chart. Just so we can see it that way, okay? It's not there. It's a blank page. Amen. We are forgiven. Our God has forgiven us. Yeah. You might say, well, don't we walk in sin? Well, we have the sin nature inside of us, yes. But I tell you, God can get these things that God helps us to overcome those things in our hearts that have entangled us, has tried to destroy us on the inside. God can break those things because he has power over the enemy. Yes. Not us, but we put our faith and trust in the one that has the power to do what needs to be done, and that can whip him up. Yes, and get control of him and destroy him. Jesus died on the cross for you and I. Yes. And nothing else. He didn't die for dogs and cats and animals of any kind. He didn't die for evil spirits, demons, and all that stuff. Zero. He died for humanity. Humanity. The blood had to be shed. Blood had to be shed. Blood had to be shed to cleanse the souls of people this day because of the blood. Now look, we're to trust and obey God. I want you to turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, please. Hallelujah. Talk about a better Sunday this Sunday, huh? Last Sunday was a lot of rain. Flooding all over the place. There was a man called Cornelius from Caesarea, a centurion in the Italian army or band, in charge of about 100 men, a devout man, but unsaved. He gave money to help people, and he prayed. It's an amazing thing. You have a lot of people praying, but not saved. I'm telling you, a lot of people praying, but not saved. Praying to all kinds of things. Praying to whatever. You see, the only way we could get saved is by asking Jesus Christ into our hearts and lives. The only door. The only door. Man, when I tell people that, it's like they just like, what? Well, you know, I can, no. That's up to you. You know, I tell them, that's up to you. But I said, I know what the scripture says, and I know my God is not lying to me. And I know my God has paid the price. And there's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. Look at this. In Acts chapter 10, starting with verse 4. Look at it. And it says, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial unto God. Now, let me stop just for a minute there. Here he is. The first part in chapter 2, verse 2, it says he gave alms and then he prayed. But when the angel came and the Lord was doing a mighty work, he talks about his prayers first, then what he gave. That's not by accident. God looks at the heart first. How we pray, what we're praying, our hearts before what we all give. I mean, look, I can give millions of dollars, thousands of dollars to this organization, that organization, churches, whatever I want to give to, you know, whatever we want to give to. But without Jesus Christ, it's of null effect. Amen. It's of zero in the kingdom of God. But if we have Jesus in our heart, which is number one, and we pray, then we give. The Spirit of God can show us where to give it, how to give it, how much to give, and what to do. And he can use our money to further the kingdom of God. Yes. My God. You see, we need the gospel preached throughout the world, people. We need the gospel preached. The true gospel, not prosperity. Let me tell you, that is... I'm not saying God doesn't prosper his people, but I tell you what, You look at devotion towards God first. Then God will prosper his people according to his word. Follow what the word says in giving. And let me tell you, the power of Almighty God will be upon your finances.
Yes, amen.
God says to tithe. We have to tithe. That's how God set up the church. God didn't say sell dinners. God didn't say go on Main Street and beg people as they come across to give you some money for your church. God didn't set it that way. The world is never to finance the church of the living God. Is the living God the church that is supposed to take the money that God brings in from his people and spread it out to the world? We can never look to the wisdom of the world to help us. We always have to look to the wisdom of the word of God and what he can do and the power of Almighty God and what he can do in our hearts and in our lives. But look at this. Verse 5, it says, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what you ought to do. Here we see a man, Cornelius, a devout man. He went to church. He did everything that was supposed to do, I guess, but still unsaved. Gave money here and there, helped people, still unsaved. But God saw his heart.
Yes,
and he gave him a vision. And he said, send men to go get Peter. Let me tell you, let me ask you this. Did those angels preach to him? No. They brought a word from Almighty God and said, go get Peter. He will tell you what to do. Angels cannot take the place of you and I. God has set that in motion that we are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to bring Jesus to the world. The angels bring messages. We don't worship them. We thank God for them, though, because they protect us at the will of the Father.
Amen.
They do things for us. We don't even tell angels what to do.
Amen.
We pray to the Father through Jesus Christ, and we call upon our Father through Jesus Christ, and he does the bidding as he wants to. My God. And let me tell you, that's the faith in the right direction. The cross of Calvary gave us access to the Father, my Lord, and what he can do in our hearts and in our lives. As the Spirit of God came unto Cornelius, this is what I want to tell you. And told him, go, send these men. Three men went to find Peter, to get him. God was already working on Peter and giving him a vision. You know, the vision of the sheet that came down because he was on the rooftop of clean and unclean animals. They were Jews, people. And let me tell you, there was no unclean thing that would enter their mouths. Unclean. And so the Holy Spirit was working upon Peter and working upon Cornelius. Look, we trust our God. When he speaks to you something or he tells you something, God is already working on the other end.
Amen.
Okay? God is working. God just doesn't speak to you and just leave you, hey, you go do what you want to do. Man, our God is working. Working on our behalf. Working on things. Working on your behalf. When he speaks something to you, he's not just telling you something, but he's working all the things out, all around about. And you may not be able to see it. You know, Cornelius could not see the vision that was coming upon Peter. But he trusted his God, saying, you know, whatever I need to do, I'll do it. And he sent these men to Peter to get him. Because Peter had a message. See, you got a message to preach to people. Amen. You have a message. You might say, Pastor, I don't know much. Let me tell you this. If you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have more than what all the people that are unsaved have. You have Jesus. You have Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Look at this. Look at Acts 10, verse 19. It says, while Peter thought on the vision that he just had, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek you. Y'all, what a God we serve, people. And arise therefore, get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Look, God is in the business of moving.
Yes.
He's in the business of moving, people. I mean, you know, I know the devil has put doubts in your mind that he's even moving sometimes. But let me tell you this, God is moving. He's looking for a heart that will seek him. He's looking for a person that will look to him and say, Father, I will not doubt you. I don't understand it. There's a difference between understanding everything of God and doubting. When you doubt, that means you're saying, Lord, you can't do it. What? But when you don't understand, you say, Lord, I don't understand how it even can be done. But I trust you. No matter what. God was already working on Peter. And it says the three men got to Peter. And he came. And it says that he started to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Started to preach. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God. You can read. Go home today and read all of chapter 10. And you'll see the Spirit of God came down upon them. The Spirit of God came down. I need to read it. I need to read this part. I want to make sure you know that I'm not just taking it out of the sky here. I know you know me better than that. But 10:44, it says, and while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, the Jews which believed, were astonished. They were astonished that God would pour out his Spirit upon the Gentiles. Anybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile, no matter if you're Asian, no matter if you're black, white, no matter what. No matter what. As many as came with Peter, because they on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Y'all, the Spirit of God. How good God is, people. In Acts chapter 2, we see the pouring out of the Spirit of God upon the Jews. They went in the upper room and God, the Holy Spirit, came down on 120. God didn't leave the Gentiles out. Gosh, thank you, Lord. He engrafted us into the vine. He took us because we were in nowhere land, people, headed for hell itself. And he said, but I can bring them in. And the Spirit of God fell upon these men after Peter went. And God had to do a mighty work in Peter. Because if the vision wouldn't have come, and we know that, he wouldn't have went. Because they thought it was only for the Jewish people, the Holy Spirit. And God, in chapter 10, the Spirit of God fell upon the Gentiles. And the Jews that were there were astonished. But even he falls upon the Gentiles. My Lord. What a God. Cornelius and Peter had to trust God, but also they had to obey him. Just think, we read the story and how miraculously. Just think if Cornelius wouldn't have sent the men, what would have happened? Just think if Peter wouldn't have gone with the men. As he was having the vision and it just stopped, there's three men knocking at his door. My miracle, people. What would have happened? They had to trust that it was God. And number two, they had to obey. We have to trust him. And we got to obey when he speaks. When he speaks to us. As the prodigal son, and I'm about to close with this. You know the parable about the prodigal son. The parable means it's a story. It was a story that was being told. But Jesus was trying to get his point across. We had the parable of the son, and he, you know, got mad at the father and wanted all his possessions. So God, the father gave him everything he wanted, and the son took off and went to a place and gave everything away. I mean, sold everything. Everything he had, he just gave it away. Just used it in a way that wasn't good. All of a sudden, the father, it says, in the parable says that he's always on the front porch waiting for that son to come home. See, some of you have children that have gone astray. Just keep trusting God. Trust and obey. Trust and pray. It says, pray and what? Don't what? Don't worry. Pray. Seek God. Don't worry. He has it all under control. And all of a sudden, the father's on that front porch and he sees his son coming home. Oh my God. He said, that's my son. I know the way he's walking. I know I can see him. And all of a sudden, you know, back then it says that the men they wore these gowns and stuff, you know, that went to the floor, you know. That's how they dressed because of the heat and everything else, not like us today. It says the father took that robe and lifted it up some, because you can't run. Ladies, have you ever tried to run with a dress on? It's hard. Okay. I'm not saying he was wearing a dress. It's just that's how it looks. So he pulled it up some, and he went after his son. He didn't care who was looking. And he didn't care if he would be embarrassed. But his son, he took the embarrassment for his son and brought him in. Gave him a ring on his finger, a robe on his back, a sonship, and shoes on his feet. That father had to trust God with his family. And he had to obey by praying and seeking God. That's something we need to learn, people. I know some of you have children that have gone astray. I mean, they just, it's not good. It's gone astray. But I tell you what, we don't look at what we see in the natural. We look at what God can do. Because you know why? We trust our God. And we obey by praying. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The power in your prayer, the power in seeking God changes things. That young man came in. You know, and he thought in his mind, I'll just go and just be a helper of some kind if my father takes me in. God can work things out no matter what. We trust our God. Young people here, don't look to the world for things. It'll leave you hopeless, helpless, and defeated, I'm telling you. That doesn't mean you can't have fun. My God. But it will leave you hopeless. Don't look to the world to fill that void that only Jesus could fill. He's the only one, people. The only one. And you older people, like me, all of us, just keep our faith and trust in him. Trust him and obey. Trust him and obey. Trust him. Trust. It's really, I say simple. The simplicity. Lord, I trust you. I don't care if you write a list down and say, put all your children's names, do whatever you're trusting him, your business, you know, your job, your finances, your whatever it is. And you just say, Lord, I trust you that you are going to lead and guide me. But Father, I want you to be able to trust me also. And I will obey you. How he wants us to pray, how he wants us to give, how he wants us to seek him, to honor him in whatever avenue and way. You see, God always does his part. We got to do our part. We have to step up and get in the middle of that water. We have to step up and do the things that God calls us to do. You can reach people that I can't reach. You can talk with people that I don't even know and tell them about Jesus. And whatever else God wants you to do, whatever it is, touching him however. You don't know how many people I speak to on a daily basis with my job there just about the Lord, about the things of God. You don't realize how many people come and say, you know, I don't know why I'm sharing this with, and I don't tell them I'm a pastor. Because it changes things. You know, it kind of, I'm a Christian. Now, if they would ask me, I'm not ashamed of it at all. If they would, yes, definitely. Yes, but, you know, I want to be that Christian that they can see. They'll come up, I mean, they tell me about their lives. I don't know them, some of them. Their lives, and I'll say, hey, I'll be praying with you. You know, I have to, you know, time-wise, you can't. You know, and probably other you on your jobs, you know that. That's God saying, I want you to be that light in the world. In the world. We had a co-worker that just passed away, Susan? Mr. Lester Moe. His funeral's Wednesday. No, I think it's Wednesday. Tuesday is the opening of it. I think Wednesday, the whatever. Yeah, something. It's two, whatever. Wednesday, I think. But you know, just you know, getting to know him, working with it some. But he died of, he had a liver transplant, and the cancer came back. And so able to work with him the last couple of years. But, you know, every once a week or so, I'd text him because he hadn't been at work in a year and a half. So, you know, just text him, how you doing? And the last few times he just said, it's not good. And I said, you know, I struggled. And I said, I got to make sure this man knows Christ. So I text him back and I said, you know, I know you are basically a religious man, you know, whatever. But I said, I need to know, have you received Christ, Jesus, as your Lord and Savior? As it says in John chapter 3. And I said, if you could just go to, because he was at the carpenter's house, which I didn't know in Lafayette. That's the last stage of. And I said, go to John chapter 3 and read it. And he texts back and he said, yes, I have. I tell you what, I could have jumped out that truck and ran around it. You know, because you see, this is a soul. A soul, people. That we have to go for souls, people. The body of Christ is souls. Telling people about Christ and what Christ can do. Because you never know. Get back to trust and obey in 2023, huh? Trust and obey. As Cornelius and Peter did, look what happened. The Spirit of God fell. We do what God says. You might say, well, Pastor, sometimes I don't know. Keep praying. Come talk to us. We'll pray. Look, because I want the best for you. Amen. The best for you and your family. Amen. You may stand, please. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We give him praise and we give him honor. Have that song ready. I Speak Jesus. We're going to sing that at the end.